Thank God it's Friday. A very good morning to you, Namibia. A good morning, my dear listener. It's a Friday morning, and we all looking forward to a weekend. So thanks for joining us. A very good morning to you, and thanks to David for early morning scoop. So welcome to your number one talk radio station. This is Eagle FM. So, and you are on Unpacking the Days. Our time is about 34 minutes past the hour of 7. And thanks for joining us. It's always a pleasure. As I said, that's what we love to do. That's what we love to do. So it's a pleasure being in your company. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So this is your program. This is your show going starting now. I'll be with you from now until the hour of 9:30. And this is the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. Whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just us doing the talking. It is also, it's about you. Share your thoughts, opinions, and perspective on the topics that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack with me the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning. If you're just joining us, welcome to Unpacking the Day live on Eagle FM. So today is the 11th of the month of July. And, let's get to our segment of, on this day in Africa. What happened on this very day in the history of Africa? So on July the 11th in 1960, Moise Tshombe, the premier of Katanga, declared the independence of the mineral rich Katanga province from the newly independent Republic of the Congo. So this event triggered a major crisis and international intervention, significantly impacting the course of post-colonial African politics as we know it in that region for so far. And on the very same day, on the 11th of July, 1963, on this day, apartheid authority raided a lilies leaf farm. That's a farm near Johannesburg, arresting key African National Congress figures, including Walter Sisulu, Govan Mbeki, Ahmed Kathrada, and others, and that leading to the notorious Rivonia trial. So this marked a major moment in the struggle against apartheid, culminating in a long jail sentences of Mandela and his colleagues. So on this very day, the FIFA World Cup final was held in Johannesburg, South Africa, on July the 11th, 2010. So Spain defeated the Netherlands 1-0, becoming the world champions. So this was the first time the World Cup was hosted on African soil, representing a major milestone for the continent in global sports. And on this very day then, on the 11th of July 2010, the Islamic militant group Al-Shabaab carried out a multiple suicide bombing in Kampala, Uganda, targeting crowds watching the FIFA World Cup final. So the attacks killed 74 people, and injured 85 others, marking one of the deadliest terroristic attack or incident in Ugandan's history. And on this day as well, even if it's not specifically for Africa, at most notable, what is this day? World Population Day. So it's a World Population Today, and is observed annually on this date, raising awareness about global population issues. So happy World Population Day to you. And this is the day where issues has to do with where countries or organizations, UN organization that has to do with raising awareness about global population issues. This is the day that is observed. All right. So, and yeah, maybe that's a day we need to populate. So on this day, I'm giving you this now, okay? On this day, let's make babies, okay? It's a population, World Population Day. So let's populate on this day. I'm giving you, all of you, I'm giving you that, free population. You know, it's a day to populate, please. You know, let's populate, huh? All right. So happy World Population Day to you and to everyone that is listening. All right. So good morning. It's the 11th of July. That is a Friday. So let's, what is the thought for the day? For this Friday, the 11th of July. So envy, it doesn't enter empty house. Envy, it doesn't enter empty house. So this proverb conveys a powerful insight that envy only arises when there is something valuable to covet, to envy about. Whether it's possessions, talents, status, or opportunities. So if someone has no asset, no position, no riches externally or internally, you know, there is simply nothing for envy to dwell on. There is no target to spark that jealousy. So envy only thrives in spaces where others possess things, things that are desirable. So whether it is material wealth, success, or even less tangible quality like confidence, if someone is, you know, have confidence or creativity, envy springs up when we perceive others as better off than ourselves. So the proverb encourages focusing inward, focusing on ourselves. So when your own house is full of satisfaction, meaning, and achievement, envy, it doesn't stand a chance. So, our thought for the day today, envy, it doesn't enter an empty house. So hopefully, this would help you to make decisions or choices that are not envious. Okay, that fill up your house, you know, with meaning and purpose and contentment to not give a chance to envy. So that's the thought of the day. Hopefully that would help you to guide you in the decision you're making and the choices you make throughout the day today. So good morning to you. If you just joining us, and so today at in 2 or 3, 4 minutes we will also cross to Windhoek. We normally have the FNB Namibia segment on Monday. It's normally on Monday, but we're gonna have it today at the usual time, quarter to eight. In just a minute or so, I will cross to my colleague Hande, and And then by around 8 o'clock, we will then switch back to me here in Ondango studio, and so we continue as usual from 8 o'clock. So from now, all right, so.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Shikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omupashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konora hita tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, you should do that if you want to remain connected, and especially if you're in the area where at this point in time, you're not hearing us from your regular frequency. Download that so that you don't miss your favorite program, especially your favorite program, Unpacking and the Day and other shows. But you can also listen to us through our website, the Eagle FM website. You can also listen to us. We were supposed to cross to Windhoek, they're not ready at this point in time. So as soon as they give me a thumbs up, we then cross to Windhoek for F&B segment. For now, as I said, do download the Eagle FM app, and to remain connected wherever you are, and get also the best thing is that there are so many other features that you will have on the app. So, please. Do follow Eagle FM. And also, today is Friday. That means our e-newspaper is out. The Villager. So have you subscribed? Okay. Do subscribe, but please do follow us. Do follow Eagle FM and the Villager on our social media, social platform, on X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, on Telegram, on WhatsApp channels. So follow us and engage with us on those social media platforms. And make sure you, as I always said, leave a like and a comment, because we would like to have a feedback and engage with you. So, and also, as you're looking for, as I said, if you look for those latest business and economic news and political news, things that are happening right away, right now, get yourself a free copy of The Villager. Subscribe by simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44. 081-241-44. 081-241-44. So, and be sure that you save that number as The Villager, you know, as a contact number. So, The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, and then this is for free. It is for free, please. And if you want to advertise your business or you have an event, or a function, a workshop, a conference, or whatever you want to, you know, to advertise or expose through a live streaming or broadcasting. Well, contact our office. It's Friday, still open. So office number is 083-288-400. 083-288-400. So, and okay, let me see where our brothers are and if they are still ready, if they are ready or not. Otherwise, we go ahead. So stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. A very good morning to you. If you are just joining us, we were just trying to cross to Windhoek for Namibia segment, FNB Namibia segment. So Yeah, it seems, there are some hiccups. So we just may continue and, we can expect that on Monday. We can expect that on Monday as usual, where we normally have it, on Monday. The listeners that, follow the F&B segment, please make sure that you tune in on Monday as usual at the usual time for that. So it was so special. We wanted to have it, this morning, but yeah, there are some hiccups. So, we continue as usual here. So yeah. All right. Around 8 o'clock, someone that to engage. Looking at looking at some impact fund the impact fund that is actually an initiative. It's a really ambitious initiative aiming to raise about $1 billion for investment in key sectors like in infrastructure, renewable energies, agriculture, so across Namibia and across the region. So I will be in discussion with Mr. Salomo Hay, the managing director of Maklani Fund Managers. So yeah, about 5 minutes or so, I will be in discussion with him. So yes, if I get a hold of him, you know. All right. So that's, stay tuned for that. It's coming up. It's very, very interesting. Stay tuned for that. So we will be in discussion with Mr. Salomo Hay, on that. All right. So, what do we do in 5 minutes? Okay. So maybe something that I will be probably talk later on. Okay, just hold on. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the
eye. Yes, definitely Eagle FM. We always above, you know, and see everything. So yeah, good morning. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day, where we break down the stories that shape our lives. So the most recently, something that I wanted to talk to you, and maybe I will also continue to talk to you about this one later on. The most recently available, very interesting, the most recently available figures for the country's mining sector deliver an impressive 6.861 billion to the government coffers in 2023, a 55.9 increase from the previous year, which was 4.402 billion. Now, but the latest number from the 2023 also raises some big questions. Are all companies paying their fair of share? Are they all companies paying their share, their fair share? So, and what happened when only a few carry the load? So we are talking about only 6 out of 15 mining company pay taxes in 2023. So we're going to look at who are those companies who are paying taxes and who are the company that are not paying taxes. And you know what I did? Also looking at who are the owners, who own the companies that are not paying taxes. It will be interesting for you to know. And so if you stay tuned, for now, let me just quickly see if I can get Mr. Salomo Hay to get to our discussion. So, but stay tuned for that, because you will be shocked who owns some of the companies that are not paying taxes. So stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakudo nirandisomwa yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onorahe tatu imu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price.
A very good morning to you, Namibia. And if you're just joining us, welcome to Unpacking the Day. I'm your host, Michael Chevelli. And at this time, we are joined by a special guest, Salomo Hay. Mr. Salomo Hay, the Managing Director of Makalani Fund Managers. Salomo is here to discuss the Makalani Impact Fund an ambitious initiative aiming to raise $1 billion Namibian dollar for investment in key sectors like infrastructure, renewable energy, agriculture, and manufacturing across Namibia and the region. So this fund is set to create possibly jobs, boost energy security, and drive industrialization. So stay tuned as we dive into the details and explore what this means for our communities and the future of Namibia. Good morning, Mr. Salomo, and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Hi, good morning, Mike, and good morning to your listeners.
So can you tell us what the Makalani Impact Fund is all about and what got you started on this journey, actually?
Yeah. So, Mike, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I think Makalani Fund Managers Namibia has been in existence for quite a while.
Yeah.
We're just in the process of sort of restructuring the fund. And as part of the restructuring of the fund, one also need to understand the realities on the ground. Now, what then transpired was, you would recall that on the 26th of June 2025, we had what we refer to as the Private Markets Forum.
Yeah.
Right? It took place in Windhoek. Now, the Private Markets Forum was really to look at the private markets across the region.
Yeah.
In terms of what exactly is their play currently. One of the key speakers at the event was obviously the CEO of the city of Windhoek. It was important to have him in the room.
Yeah.
Remember that cities thrive with markets. But then further enhanced the conversation was that we had institutional investors from South Africa. We had one of the Tswane Prudent Fund principal officers.
Yeah.
So what that means is that the municipality of Tswane, which is one of the metros in South Africa, Pretoria to be more specific, their Provident Fund principal officer was in the room to be able to give us an idea in terms of what is their mandate, what has been their historical returns, what do they think going forward would further enhance the fund's return for its members. We also had the KZN, which is KwaZulu-Natal Municipality Provident Fund PO in the room. Again, it was very much in line with really informing the market or the private markets in Namibia how their play has been, where they have deployed their funds,
yeah,
and what impact they have been able to derive from these funds. Obviously, GIPF is the biggest institutional investor or the biggest pension fund, if it were, in Namibia was also in the room. GIPF almost account for over 50% of total pension funds in the country.
Yeah.
And I think GIPF obviously also needed to inform South African counterparts in terms of what the mandate of the fund is, the strategy going forward. And they have to look at what could be the further collaboration with a fund like Makalani. So there were also other private equity players. Mr. Kavelo Moja was there. He's currently one of the biggest private equity players in South Africa in terms of fundraising. There were Slengwe Nkatini, IDF chief investment officer.
Yeah.
And again, one of the biggest fund managers in South Africa as well. You had some players from the local market. Bellatrix was in the room. An unlisted fund as well. Now, EOS Capital chief investment officer was also in the room, Federico. So the idea was to bring all of those professionals in one room to really map out a way for what is it that Africa needs going forward. Remember that we cannot speak about Namibia in isolation going forward. You need to speak about the continent because of the Africa Continental Free Trade Area.
Yeah.
We had the visit of now Mr. Dangote, I think a week ago, or I think in the very same week that we're having the event, to really look at the investment profile or the investment climate in Namibia. When you have those sort of players coming to Namibia, it means that we have to look at other neighbors and understand what their needs are, and, as opposed to just wanting to raise capital for the domestic market.
Yeah.
So that's when we identified as a start that we have to look at the PIC, which is the Public Investment Corporation in South Africa, the biggest investment house in or the biggest fund on the continent.
Mm.
We're also looking at the government employees pension fund in South Africa, not the one in Namibia. And what we want to do is really want to look at co-funding.
Yeah. So
what we're looking at is to say, do the PIC have an African mandate, right? And as part of that African mandate, you want to raise this capital to be able to deploy in their respective sectors. Now, we are also conscious of the different asset classes in terms of what your fund mandate dictates and where you can deploy this fund. But those are the technicalities.
Yeah.
The reality is that now this fund would obviously have to look at countries like Botswana, because there's huge infrastructure needs in that country as well. Remember that there's also a new administration in Botswana.
Yeah.
So one would want to understand where can we plug the gap for this impact fund that will then obviously accelerate jobs, create economic opportunities, and subsequently create a continent that is becoming self-sustainable going forward. The same approach will be deployed to Zambia.
Yeah.
And we are speaking very closely with project developers and project promoters in Zambia. They've got a huge appetite. And then obviously the regulatory regime.
Yeah.
To sort of look at when you raise your funds and compliance across the region as well. So NAMFISA, which is essentially a non-banking regulator, was also in the room when we had the private market forum. It was important to have them in the room so that they can sort of inform the private markets on the continent what their obligations, what their compliance requirements would be, and also going looking forward, what is the strategic outlook of the regulatory regime? Is it clearly on compliance, or is there also a move towards market development?
How do you see this fund tackling some of the urgent stuff, like making sure we have got enough power, food, and job around here?
Well, you know very well, Mike, that currently we are heavily reliant on power as a country, and I assume you are speaking about Namibia, right?
Yeah.
We've got a power deficit in terms of what we produce locally and what we actually use, right? Now, the idea is, for instance, if you look at 20 megawatt power plant that we have identified, or the project developers have brought to us as a potential area of funding, that will mean that there is a great need for energy generation on the continent, and more so Namibia, because you want to become energy secure, you want to have security of supply. And there's also the South African power pool in the event that you have excess power. So you can actually deploy excess power into the South African Southern African power pool, which will then be able to derive an income from that as well, or subsequently export that power into different parts of the region.
Yeah.
So that's the one. Now, secondly, again, in relation to the labor-intensive sectors, which really want to deal with unemployment problems, because there is an impact fund. You know, you want to be able to make an impact that can be measured and that can be touched and feel in terms of the socioeconomic impact that one has. So you will then have to look at sectors like agriculture, which obviously also need a different type of funding, right? Because remember, agriculture is not your typical business funding that you, for instance, expect returns in over a certain period of time. The structure around deal for agriculture is quite different.
Yeah.
And this is why it's important to bring about these funds that speak to the solutions of some of these projects. And that will, agriculture, although it has a lot of mechanization that will come as a consequence of the advancement in technology within the sector, a big part of it will still remain for labor-intensive purposes. And this is how you then move the needle around addressing the poverty, the inequality, and subsequently improve disposable income by putting money into households' pockets.
Yeah, you have got a shoe factory and tannery in the mix too. Yeah, can you tell us more about that and how it might bring jobs and growth our way, especially to Namibia?
Yeah, so the promoters that actually brought the deal to Makalani have been a track record of over 35 years. It's an Italian manufacturing house that want to come set up a plant in Namibia around really for the export market, of which 20% of what the production could be will essentially be used for the Namibian market, and 80% of that would be export market. Now the promoters have a track record in terms of supplying shoes to also high-end products historically. So there's a greater shift towards manufacturing, really moving towards the continent, contrary to popular belief that our tax regime is not favorable.
Yeah.
If you compare it to some of the advanced economies, you realize that investors are now looking at countries like Namibia to perhaps can set up their manufacturing base and use it as a basis to export their products into the rest of the world. So this is the essentially what we want is use our heights, right, which is actually the skin, and turn that into shoes, because essentially that is an input to leather shoes.
Yeah.
So obviously in terms of at what stage this particular project is, it's still it's just post feasibility, right? So there's still work to be done around the administrative components of it, and also around a bit of some of the sort of bureaucratic checklist that one needs to go through. But we hope to really realize this project, because its job potential is extremely high. Because essentially, working in a factory for shoes, you could look at the initial uptake of almost 1,200 employees that can come on the factory line. So it's massive. I mean, if we're able to pull it off, and obviously we are now aggressively engaging investors around raising capital to be able to
and
in Africa.
Yeah, and how is it going actually raising the capital? What has been the challenge about getting all that cash together?
Now remember that we had the private markets forum, and this is a consequence of what we discussed there, right, which was a week ago on the 26th of June. And remember that again I told you that we spoke to institutional investors in South Africa, which is lining up further meetings now with them as well in the next week or two. So we are extremely very busy. We have hit the ground running, trying to make sure that we can close this deal, or rather raise fund one as a matter of priority. So it's work in progress, but given where we are and how the market has opened up for Namibia, I think there's a greater appetite to really having to deploy money in the region to have the impact that we all want to see.
Yeah. And how do you convince this investor that putting money, putting their money into your project actually is worth it?
Well, it's really also within alignment with national priorities.
Mm.
Because remember that the mandate of funds at times tend to be specific, right? And instances where they align with national priorities, it's actually it's really a matter of making sure that the cohesion that's being sought is then met,
mm.
right? And for instance, if you look at what the NDP 6 says, or the one that's been crafted coming out of NDP 5, I mean, job creation is an important component.
Yeah.
Right? Value addition is an important component. Right?
Yeah.
Now, the economic returns that a fund look after is really aligned with that. So it's obviously around those metrics and those sort of checklists that one wants to make sure that there's proper alignment between Makalani Fund Manager, the institutional investor, and the projects that we deploy the money into. And if the alignment is correct, I don't know or I don't see why the investors should look away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And also more so because it's really geared towards impact and in the region. And I'm sure investors are also looking at what core investment can come in, because I think the exposure to risk for one investor on the ticket size that we are referring to here would obviously, out of an abundance of caution, be looked at as such. So it's important to have a bit of a mixed bag of investors, and this is the approach and strategy that we have taken for the fund.
Yeah.
Say, if we have a commitment from South Africa and we can bring that commitment into Namibia, I think it would be a sort of a recipe for success in terms of raising the capital.
Yeah, you know, there's also talk about, or you mentioned it, lowering something called co-investment from 1% to 0.1%. What that means, what does that mean actually in simple terms, and how could it actually shake things up?
No, I mean, again, remember that FEMA is still in the works, right?
Yeah.
It is not yet been promulgated. Now, what has happened as part of the amendments into the regulatory regime is that the regulatory regime has now sort of been relaxed towards fund managers, where the core investment is usually used to be 1%.
Yeah.
So if you were to raise, say you want to raise 1 billion, and you raise 1 billion, then you should be able to have a core investment as the fund of 1%.
Mm.
So obviously that was a bit of a prohibitive component in terms of for the fund manager, right? So NAMFISA, or the regulator in Namibia, has then relaxed that particular component by listening to the market and reducing it to no longer being 1% co-investment, but rather or not 1%, which is really very much in line with market trends, but also manageable for costs from a fund perspective.
Yeah.
So this is highly encouraging to have a regime that's able to amend and be flexible to the demands of the market.
And what is these fit and proper rules for managers all about? And why do they matter for keeping things keeping things legit?
Yeah, so Mike, remember that you are raising institutional investors.
Yeah.
You are investing money on behalf of members of pension funds, right? And these are essentially members that have worked their whole life.
Mm.
So when you get a portfolio manager who will then sort of on a day-to-day basis be managing the fund portfolio, right, it means that this person should be fitted proper,
yeah.
right, as opposed to only vetting the key men, if it were. So again, the vetting process will go further down to the portfolio manager to be able to make sure that this person is fit and proper, has a track record, has managed funds in that area, and has managed a certain quantum of portfolios. So through that, you would also want to make sure that this person is above board, if it were. And essentially, this is the fit and proper test that the portfolio manager has to undergo.
Yeah. So, and when it comes to the investment that comes in Namibia, where does this fund fit into the bigger picture of how money gets invested in Namibia and probably beyond?
Well, the idea is these are all collaborative efforts, right? Makalani is one, and we're more than happy to have others also move the needle. It can't be that you have one or two players in the market. You want to be able to create a competitive landscape, but at the same time, which will bring about the greater benefit to the Namibian economy. So the more funds flow to Namibia, the better it is for the end consumer and for the general business environment. Now remember that we have been identified as one of the top five countries in terms of FDI attraction on the continent, right?
Yeah.
But we also know that the majority of foreign direct investment that we've been able to attract is for the exploration of the Orange Basin in terms of the oil and gas that we have discovered, right? Now, we also know that during the exploration phase, a lot of the investment is really capital intensive because you've got huge machinery coming into the country and subsequently exploration taking place with these huge rigs, whether it's onshore or offshore. And they don't really create jobs, right? So the idea is that the impact fund is really speaking as part of a collaborative effort in a greater financial or investment ecosystem to be able to make sure that we contribute to alleviating the economic challenges that's facing Namibia and the greater region at large.
Yeah, and on that very point, for every Namibians listening right now, what could this fund do for our wallet and also our towns?
Well, I think that also one needs to decentralize economic activity, right? And also speak to the diversification strategy of Namibian economy. You also know that we are currently pre-industrialization, and our potential for growth is much higher in comparison to the post-industrialization countries, and you can see it even in the GDP metrics.
Yeah.
We are sub-Saharan as an economic bloc, if it were, is growing much quicker than the rest of the advanced economies. And also the emergence of BRICS that has come into the picture. And given all these developments, I think Namibia stands to gain if you really get cross the T's and dot the I's. This will mean that we create jobs. That will mean that there's going to be greater personal disposable income and potentially deal with socioeconomic issues around housing as well. Because, I mean, remember that some of the challenges that we are facing has got to do with affordability.
Yeah.
And you can only deal with affordability if people have jobs or job prospects. And through that, definitely means that we could potentially have a prosperous Namibia on the horizon. Obviously, it's not a walk in the park. There's a lot of work to be done and to be able to realize the aspirations.
And how are you making sure that this project don't just help now, but keep making a difference years down the line?
And this is essentially why we have got this as almost what you would refer to as Fund One.
Yeah. Right?
And on proper deployment and execution of the fund and the close of the fund, we would then obviously have to go back to the market, obviously provided that the returns are within what we have agreed upon with the investors, and raise another fund, because I think the unlisted side is really the sector that can really move the needle if you compare it with the listed environment. So this is almost what you would refer to as really a continuous fund that we would want to raise, that we would want to have going forward in the foreseeable future. And remember, with the trade agreements that are opening up, remember we also had the Commonwealth Summit, where Namibia is essentially part of a 1.3 billion market in terms of population. So the idea is, I think the opportunities are really there to be able to make sure that some of these initiatives lives long into perpetuity, and also make sure that it can improve the ecosystem, not only in Namibia, but also in the greater region.
Yeah.
Through job opportunities, infrastructure, and also the necessary sophistication that's needed.
Yeah. So what could go wrong with this investment, and how are you planning to handle those risks?
Well, look, we're not the first fund to raise capital. You know, there has been obviously funds that did not perform well. I mean, remember, I think there was a fund recently that was deregistered with Namfisa.
Yeah.
There were also different challenges previously. But obviously, as part of the restructuring process, we have really gotten top-end and top-notch professionals that are coming with huge expertise. So we want to make sure that at least to the extent possible, out of an abundance of caution, we remain within the compliance of the regulatory regime, both in the different jurisdictions that we intend to deploy the money to, but also operate from. So, look, I mean, it's always easier to speak, but the idea is also the reality is that the environment is quite fluid in terms of advancement in different regulatory regimes over time. So we would essentially comply, but at the same time also make sure that we align Makalani with the investor's mandate and the usual, what you would refer to as the investment plan, and make sure that the investment plan and the level of trustees in terms of the people that will become part of the special purpose vehicle and the management companies are really above reproach in terms of the quality of people that will form part of the fund. And I mean, to the extent possible, those are the measures that one has to put in place, and hope also that that the companies that we invest in are also properly structured in terms of the fit and proper, but also good standings, right? It's critical to invest in companies that are above board and at the same time have got proper or rather proper governance structures in place, because that's also important and it gives the investor some level of comfort.
Yeah. And finally, maybe looking ahead, what is your dream for this fund and how it could shape our region and Namibia's future?
Well, I think that it's really to make sure that you know that there's multilateralism globally is under threat. But I think Africa as a continent is really on the rise. And this is my dream, to be able to make sure that this fund see its fulfillment and to be able to make the necessary impact in the respective countries and give the African child a dream to be able to aspire to and rise beyond their immediate surroundings.
Yeah. Mr. Salama, any last words maybe on the fund that I haven't asked you that you would like to communicate to our listeners?
Well, Mike, I think that the time has come for Namibia, also in the greater continent, to really put their best foot forward. And one way of doing it is really to create an ecosystem where business can thrive, but also to make sure that the entrepreneurs out there are ready for this new wave of development that can come. They should prepare, and some of these projects or some of these initiatives are also not short-term initiatives. It's very long-term initiative with a bit of a greater 5 to 10 years impact. So it's not a fund that will come in tomorrow and change lives tomorrow, yeah, but it will have definitely a greater impact in the long term.
Mr. Salomo, thank you for making time this morning and talking to our listeners about the Makalani Impact Fund and its really ambitious initiative, and hopefully you get all the support and that you need to make this dream come a reality. So thanks for coming through.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
All right. All right, that was Mr. Salomo Hay, the Managing Director of Makalani Fund Managers. Well, talking to us about the Impact Fund, which is really an ambitious initiative aiming to raise 1 billion for investment in key sectors. Such earlier on infrastructure, as he mentioned, renewable energy, so agriculture and manufacturing, the ideal across, not only across Namibia, but also across the region. So, and hopefully the fund is set to create jobs, boost energy security, and drive industrialization. So, well, if you're listening, what is your take? What are you thinking about those that initiatives? Something to be applauded to be applauded of, and also to be, you know, really supported, because it does contribute to our national developing plans. The whole question of eliminating poverty and inequality in Namibia, and creating jobs and boosting energy security in our country, because which is the main resource we need for development and driving industrialization. So our telephone number is 08333-66091. Our time is about 36 minutes. We still have a couple of hours, couple of minutes before we come to the end of the show on 9:30. So make sure that you take part now, because you guys love to come almost towards the end of the show. I don't know why. Yeah. So just if you want to contribute and have your say, please do come through now. Our telephone number is 08333-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM,
the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha, utekirwa kaguna, ii matina, omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana, nungeshifa, ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo, ota ingongoti samwene. Anangeshifa, ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro, nirandithoma, yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitiramo, Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onarahita tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oaniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, welcome. So this is Unpacking the Day. And we just concluded a discussion with Mr. Solomon Hay, the managing director of Makalani Fund Managers. So, and if you were, as I said, if you were following the discussions, please do come through if you want to have your say or your comment, or your take of the discussion of what you have discussion. So it was all about the Makalani Impact Fund. This is a fund, this is initiative, that's aiming to raise about $1 billion, investment, in those sectors that we talked about. So sectors like renewable energy, you know, infrastructure, agriculture and manufacturing. So, yeah, and, you know, the whole idea is really to, it's contributing to countries' development goals, which is create jobs, boost energy and energy security, food security, and really industrialize our country and the region. It's not because it doesn't just focus on Namibia, but it's also focused on actually the whole. It's focused on the SADC. Region. Yeah, our telephone number is 08333-66091. If you want to contribute on this very topic, or the discussion that I had with Mr. Hain. All right. So, if nobody comes through, Friday it's slow. It's very slow to some people. I understand that, you know. I understand that Friday is very slow to some people. Hopefully, you know, you wake up. It's around. What is it? You should be at work already. And if you are one of those that, you know, maybe on holidays or maybe you're one of those, you know, got no job, you know. What would I say? So, all right. Thanks for listening to us, and thanks for joining, and thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be, you know, to inform you really what is going on and what you could be very hopeful for to happen in the future. So that's why we're here. So that's why we want you to stick with us, because we give you hope. We give you stories that and initiatives that give you that gives hope for Namibia and for the region as well. So yes, as I said, I was talking earlier on when we started. I said there is a recent available figures on for the country's mining sectors. I said I'll come and tell you other companies in the mining companies that are paying taxes and companies that are not paying taxes and who owns those companies. I promise you that. Hopefully you stay tuned and we get into that. Just to start, just to recap, I think what I have said earlier on or what, the report indicate. It really indicate, as I said, an impressive 6.861 billion that have given to the government coffer. So in 2023, and that shows when you compare now to the previous year, it's actually a 55.9. Surge from definitely from the previous year of 4.402 billion. Now, excuse me. So, but as I said, why we have in 2023 we have the latest numbers from 2023 races. Make one also ask questions. We are journalists anyway. We ask questions. That's why we're here. Are all companies paying their fair share? So, and what happens when only a few companies that actually pay their fare and only few that carry the load? So, And this is interesting. This is something that is very interesting. And let's get into it. So you're most welcome to come through if you want to comment on the discussion that I have with Mr. Hay. And the telephone number is, we are in Onangwe studio, 08333 66091. So, do come through and have your say. This is that platform for you to air your opinion and perspective on that topic or any topic that related to that initiatives. So now in 2023, Namibia's mining sector paid a massive of 6.861 billion to the government. And as I said, that's actually about 55.9 jump from 2022's 4.4, which was actually one of the best that time. So now the corporate taxes nearly doubled, 3.967 billion. So, and this is driven by strong profit the company have made, higher global prices for gold and uranium that year, and a weak exchange rate boosting our local earnings. So now the royalties are the fees for extracting, the fees that the government charge for extracting resources also rose with 11 companies paying, those 11 companies paying 3.828 billion. And of course this is great news. More money for public service, right? So that's very good news. But the problem is Out of 15 mining companies, only six paid corporate taxes. Only six paid corporate taxes, and that means nine companies didn't contribute to that pot. They didn't put anything in that pot. So some paid royalties, But I mean, royalties are based on production, so not profit. So they are often small. The royalties are often small because it's based on production. So if you haven't produced anything, you know, so you won't pay anything. So why are so few companies paying corporate taxes and some not? So who pays and who is not paying? So that's what we're going to look at, so that we know who are contributing to our coffer and, well, consequently, to our public services delivery. So the B2 Gold Otjikoto mine was, you know, when you have student, you know, you have the star student. So the B2 Gold is like that student, the star student. They paid 2.4 billion in taxes. They paid $2.4 billion in taxes, royalties and in levies. So that's over 40% of the sector's total tax contributions. So that's actually a 40% of the sector. The sector's total tax contribution. So, and that's huge for one company. I think it's a really huge for one company. Other like De Beers Marine, Namdeb Holdings, and Rossing Uranium also chipped in significantly. They also chipped in, with De Beers paying $1.3 billion in royalties and $2.2 billion in corporate taxes. And you also have Rossing contributing about $339.9 million in corporate taxes. So, but we have several companies, maybe that we haven't even mentioned. We have several companies that reported losses, and paid no corporate taxes. Looking at these are now the companies that some of them reported losses and paid no taxes. Some paid royalties and paid no taxes. So let's look at some of this and also see who owns that. So we have Andrada Mining, the Andrada Mining, which operate in the Oostin mine. This company paid 9.928 million that in royalties in 2023, but reported a 14.6 million loss. So it also paid that in royalties. It didn't pay the corporate taxes, only paid royalties and not the corporate taxes. So, I remember, as I said, the royalties definitely depend on productions. So, yeah, and they reported loss of 14.6 million. So who owns it? So, who owns it? Andrada Mining is publicly listed company on the London Stock Exchange, AIM market, and it's not owned by one single entity, but a mix of institutional and individual investors. So major shareholder include asset management firms and investment funds, so with no single dominant owners. So they have got strategic partnership like with SQM. This is a global lithium company for their lithium projects. So the Namibian government doesn't hold a direct stake in this company. So Andrada's loss, it hit the private in sectors, not the government, and not the public coffer. So, but it hit the private in sectors. Yeah. So. Yeah, that's one company, paid royalties, but, you know, no corporate taxes and levies. So now we have the Langer-Heinrich uranium, which was idle 2023, which was idle in 2023. So when it's referred idle, it meaning that it paid no taxes, it paid no or royalties. So this mine, I think it has been really on, been a roller coaster. It has been a roller coaster. Discovered in 1973, but only started production in 2007. So right now, it's owned 75% by Paladin Energy Limited, LTD. And this is an Australian company. So this Australian company have made losses and hasn't paid, you know, taxes or royalties. So, and the other 25% is held by CNNC Overseas Uranium Holding Limited, part of the Chinese National Nuclear Corporation, bought for $190 million in 2014. So, yeah, the mines, the mine has been on care and maintenance since 2018. Due to low, that was due to low uranium prices, like car parked. You know, when you have a mine that is like that, it's like, you know, you have a car parked in the garage waiting for better days. You know, yeah. So it restarted production in March 2024. So we might see taxes flowing again soon, but. When a mine is idle, it's like a factory with no workers. So jobs and revenue has dried up. It means that it has dried up. So as I said, it's also, we learn it to resume production again in March 2024. So probably we might see taxes again from them. So, and then you have the Swakop uranium. So the this one is running the Hassap mine, one of the world's biggest uranium operations. So in 2023, it reported a whopping 1.62 billion loss. So 1.62 billion loss and paid royalties, but no corporate taxes. So this one hasn't paid corporate taxes. But it paid some royalties, but no nada when it comes to corporate taxes. So, the ownership here get interesting. So Swakopmund Uranium is 90% owned by Taurus Minerals, which itself is a 60% owned. By China's CGN Uranium Resources Co. and 40% by the China Africa Development Fund. So that's actually owned by the Chinese. 90% owned by the Chinese. Now the other 10%, the 90% is by, you can say that by the Chinese. And the other remaining 10% is held by the Epangelo Mining, Namibian state-owned mining company. So the government has a stake, has a small stake, but the big player are Chinese investors. So, and well, the government also loses there. Yeah, so, and then we have Namdeb Diamond Corporation. Namdeb Diamond Corporation, which reported a 445 million loss in 2023, despite paying a 1.773 billion in royalties. So, and 112 million in corporate taxes. So, So now, the NAMDEP is actually a 50-50 joint venture between the Namibian government and the BS, the global giant, the global diamond giant, you know. So, yeah. So 7 companies did report profit, like B2Gold, the Rossing Uranium, and others. But the losses from the other raises some questions. Are these companies really struggling, or are they their tax rules allowing them to minimize their bills? So those are some of the questions. So it is not just about taxes, actually. So the mining created 18,189 direct job in 2023. That's up to 12.6 from 16,147 in 2022. So that's 8,000, that is 8,950 permanent workers, 803 temporaries, and also 8,436 contractors. So, plus, these workers paid, now the workers in the mining sectors paid 1.186 billion. That is in pay as you earn taxes. So, which adds to the government revenue. So, even when companies don't pay corporate taxes, so their employees are really contributing. So, now there's another layer. The government owns shares in some companies. Okay, NAMDEP, for example, NAMDEP Holdings, which include the Beers Marine and NAMDEP Diamond Corporation, is a 50% government owned. So Rossing Uranium has a 3.42% government stake. When these companies profit, so the government could get dividends. Okay. So, but when they report losses, like the NAMDEP 445 million, the government misses out. They misses out on both taxes and also dividends. So, it's like, owning a shop, that is not making money. So you're not just losing sales, but you are also losing your investment too, you know? So that's how it's like when the company that you have stakes, it's making losses. So yeah, now why? The question is now, why only 6 paid corporate taxes? So why did only 6 companies pay corporate taxes? So, well, as we know, sometimes mining is really a volatile business. Costs can be higher. Global prices for commodities like uranium or diamond can swing. You know, some company like Lange Heinrich were idle, we learn. So no profit, no taxes. So other might be using tax rules, like deduction for exploration or equipment costs, so to offset a profit. And the Chamber of Mines notes that deduction for pre-production costs, royalties, and loan interest are allowed, which can then reduce taxable income. So this is legal, but it raises question about whether the system is actually balanced. So now, Namibia's mining tax regime include a 37.5% corporate tax rate for non-diamond mining, and 32% for diamonds, with royalties at 3% for metal like gold and 2% for industrial minerals. Now, these rates are meant to ensure that the government get a fair share, but if companies report losses, the government then get less. So the recent 2024 changes, like limiting assessed losses to 10 years for mining companies, that might help ensure more companies pay taxes actually in the future. So now the 2023 numbers, in some way, impressive, but they are also a warning, I think. Relying on a few big players like B2 Gold is really risky. If commodity price drop or major mine shutdowns, that 6.861 billion could just shrink very fast. So it's like, you know, imagine if your family relied on one breadwinner. So what happened if they lose their job? So that's why we have the president talking about diversification matters, where she really emphasized that, you know, we need to diversify our economy. So sector like agriculture, you know, tourism, or even green steels, as mentioned in a recent report, they could reduce our dependence on mining. So there are also a question of fairness, the whole question of fairness, when only a third of companies pay corporate taxes. It can feel like some are dodging this, some are dodging the share. So you might wonder, are these companies genuinely struggling, or are they using maybe some loopholes? So, and we have learned that there were loopholes that are being used by some of this company, because our people are not competent enough. And sometimes these companies are more, they have more people that are more competent in avoiding taxes and royalties and all that. So,
yeah.
So that's a genuine question, where are they really genuinely struggling, or are they using loopholes? And transparency is a key. So we need clear reporting on why companies report losses and how tax rules are applied. So without it, trust in the system goes in the drain. It goes in the drain. So now the recent 2024 budget changes, like lowering non-mining corporate taxes to 31%, and planning further cuts, shows the government wants to attract investment and an incentive for mining, like those for iron ore or green steel, could boost the sector. So it could boost the sector, but we need to ensure these incentives that the government is give don't just benefit companies. They must create jobs. They must create jobs. They must, you know, create jobs and revenue for Namibians. So what is next? What is really next for Namibia? So, yeah. So the mining sector's contribution, we all know that they are vital, but we can't put all our eggs in one basket. And that's why you have the president banging on the doors, or actually not, that's not the right way to say. That's why we have the president standing on the hilltop shouting, diversifying, diversification, diversification. So, yeah, as I said, we can't put all our eggs in one basket. So diversifying into other industries could actually stabilize our economy. So we also need to keep the pressure on for accountability, something that I say almost every day. So that accountability, that's why we have issues of NAMCOR. It's lack of accountability. So the government should review tax rules to ensure they are fair and effective. Are deductions too generous? Maybe the deductions are too generous. Should royalties be higher? More companies reporting losses. So maybe we should have higher royalties for companies that are reporting losses. So, well, these are tough questions, but they are worth asking. They are really worth asking. So Namibia, what do you think? Is this mining sector doing enough? Should we demand more? We need to demand more. Are we too reliant on mining? Or is still our best, best bet for growth? So, yeah. So you're welcome to come through and have your take on that. So our telephone number is 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. There you are. I have, revealed to you the companies, the mining companies who don't pay taxes. So we know them who are not contributing to the growth or to economic growth of this beautiful land called Namibia. So do please come through, and there are two items that we have already covered. So what is your take? I know it's Friday, we go cool, we go slow on Friday, but hey, we want to hear you. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear your take. We want to hear your contributions. Be part of, building the nations. That's the point. That's the exact point. We want you to contribute to the growth. Don't just sit with the information. Don't just sit worrying about, why they're not doing this. Tell us. This is the platform where they can hear you. Get through. 08-333-66-091. So get through, have your voice, have your opinion, have your perspective, come through on some of these issues. These are national issues, and we need to have conversation on these issues. All right. Stay tuned and do come through and have your say.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
The U in UNAM is you. All right. So very good morning to you. And you are here. And welcome. So, and you are live. We are live. Coming to you. Live on Eagle FM. So this is Unpacking the Day. So far we have unpacked few interesting developments. So it's now your turn to come through and engage me and engage our listeners. I know you are one of the listeners as well, and please, but do come through as well and share your opinion and your perspective and your take on some of the issues that or some of the discussion that we have so far. So our telephone number is 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. All right. So do come through, even if I continue with another item that we can look at. Let's go on. There are so many things that we can, share with you.
Bargain hunters, you say,
but you're all out. You're allowed to come through,
cheese,
and also
and
have your opinion.
Real good flow that makes chicken poultry.
And
$74.99 400 milliliters.
The way you see things,
tomato sauce.
Right. That's this program. That's what this program does.
Soup,
this is what we do here. We allow you to have your share of
70 gram packets of
Lana
instant noodles,
well.
Just 26. All right. 410 grams U brand
in today's
edition.
Today's edition.
Save big at you save.
Of the Villager. There is an article about
if you have a
government
mobile device,
seeks to.
You can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the
there
Apple
is,
App Store. Download the Eagle FM.
All right. So what I was where before I get distracted by that mosquito. All right. So now today's editions of the Villager, there is an article about the government seek to prohibit foreign agricultural land ownership, and that article is by Nino Menwavali Erastus, the man we know as Kanjengo Kankwanyoka. So as I said, make sure that you subscribe to the Villager to get your free copy every Monday, Wednesday, and of course Friday. So on Wednesday, the government made a big announcement, a really big one. They gave a notice that, I'm saying the minister of minister gave a notice that she planned to introduce a new law. So the law aims to stop foreigners from buying agricultural land in Namibia. So what does that actually mean? What does it mean? And what does it mean for you? Tell me, what does it mean for you? What does it mean for me? Now, before, let's get some background so that we put things in context. We allow you to put, if you are new in the country and you're listening to this and said, they don't want foreigners having land in Namibia. That's too bad. That discrimination. Okay, before you go there, so let's get some background. So for those of us living in this country, we know the story. So our country has a long, long and painful history with the land. Long and painful, you know. And for over 100 years under the colonial rules, Land was taken. Land was taken. Today, we still live with that legacy. There's a huge inequality when it comes to land. A small number of people who own most of the productive farmland. Not who own, there's a mistake sometimes when people say they own most land. No, they own, a small number of people own most of the productive farmland. So the government has tried to fix this with a willing seller, a willing buyer policy. Okay? You have heard that. And it's like this. The government can only buy a farm for redistribution if the owner is willing to sell it. If they don't, forget about it. So now, but this has been slow. It hasn't, we can't even that this has been slow. It hasn't working. Well, there are a few that have sold their land as well. So yeah, it has been slow. Maybe that's the right way to say it. So, well, and sometimes the prices are too higher and every few people are willing, you know, only very few people are willing to sell. And many people feel it just hasn't worked well enough. You know, it just hasn't worked well enough. So this new plan is much stronger. It's actually a much stronger step. So the first and biggest point is the ban of foreign ownership. So the plan says that if you are not a Namibian citizen, excuse me. If you are not a Namibian citizen, you will not be able to buy agricultural land here. Not here. Simple as that. You know, you won't. Well, it also applies to companies that are controlled by foreigners. So even if they are registered in Namibia, so that goes with that. And why this is important. So I gave you the context. Why this is important is that, well, the latest number from the Namibian Statistics Agency tells us that foreign own about 1.2 million hectares on our farmland. 1.2 million hectares on our farmland. So to put that in perspective, that is 250 farms. 250 farms. And most of this land is owned by national from Germany and then followed by South Africa and then United States. 250 farms. So the government is saying, well, this land is precious source. It's a precious resources for Namibians. So let's keep it for Namibians. That's what the government is trying to say with this new bill. Well, yeah, well, but the plan, it doesn't stop there. So the plan, it doesn't stop there. So it's not just about buying. The new law will also regulate the leasing of land. The leasing of land by the foreigners. So if a foreigner wants to rent a farm to use it, there will be rules and control in place. So it seems that, well, the previous law framework hasn't probably put that factor that in. So now here's also that part, the part that will get people actually talking. This one, the part that will get people talking. The bill includes the compulsory acquisition of land by the state. So what does that mean? I'm asking. So the compulsory acquisition of land by the state, this new bill also include that. So what does that mean? It means if the government needs a piece of land for land reform, for argument's sake, it can have the power to buy it, even if the owner is not actively trying to sell it. The government can say, look, we want that land. It fit our purpose. We want it. You get out. You can scream all you want. No, I don't want to bail. Whatever you say. So the government said, we want that land. Get out. So, well, this is really, no, this is a massive change from the willing seller, a willing buyer, you know. The idea is to get land to Namibian citizens who don't have any. Majority of them who have been removed from their ancestral land and have nothing. So that's the idea. So the government have that compulsory acquisition of land. So there is that component in this bill. So you can scream all you want. I want this farm. It's good. It fit what I want to do. Get out. Eh? So, yeah. And the government also want to have the first option when it comes now to buying the farm. It's the government wants to have the first option to buy any farm. So, think of it like this. You think of it like this. If you want to sell your house, so you have to offer it to your family member first before you can sell it to a stranger. So if your family member, one of your family member want to buy it, so it will stay in the family. So that's what the government is actually trying to do. So it would also want to have the first option to buy any farm. So our time is 25 minutes past the hour of 9. We still have about 5 minutes before we come to the end of the show. It's Friday, I know. And, but let's also, drive it cool. All right. So in this case, as I said, the government want to have that, first option to buy any farm. So, yeah. So in this case, any farmer wanting to sell their land must first offer it to the government. And that is called a preferential right to purchase. So a preferential right, to purchase. So the government has the preferential right to purchase. So, hopefully you have learned that. Hopefully you have learned it, learned that from here. And then you can argue, that hey, it's within the government's law. It is within the law that the government have the preferential right to purchase any farm, any farm that is being sold in Namibia. So the new bill also looks at the communal land. It plans to set up the communal land board and a special fund to develop these areas. So this is key because the majority of Namibians live on a communal land. Many of them live on the communal land, and strengthening this area is just as important as fixing the commercial farm issues. So and the whole question of tax, there will be a tax, a land tax. This often used to encourage landowners not to just sit on the huge piece of land, without using them. So if you have to pay tax on it, so you are more likely to make it productive or sell it. So what should we think about all this? What should we think about all this? So now let's look at it this way. Let's look at it from a few angles within that 2 minutes. On one hand, many Namibians will be saying, finally, Yeah, finally, this feeling like a bold step. It's feeling like this is a bold step toward correcting the wrongs of the past that I share with Nimoni at the beginning. So it's about now. It's about taking control of our own resources, ensuring our food security, and giving landless Namibian a chance at a better life. Because without land, well, you have nothing. So it addresses now those deep emotional issues that has been with us since independence. But as a journalist, we also have to ask tough questions. So we also have to ask a tough question. So the questions are, when you think about it, will this maybe scare away foreign investment? Well, some will argue that if you can't own land, if I can, as an investor now, if I can't own land, you might not want to invest millions into building a world-class farm or agricultural project here if you can't own it. So that's a valid concern. It is a valid concern we need to consider. And the biggest question of
all. At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before.
That
like
we know
good
too well,
health.
In Namibia, a plan on the paper is one thing. Making it work fairly and effectively is another. Making it work efficiently, it's another. So in Namibia. So how will the government then decide which land to acquire? Will the process be transparent? And will the land that is acquired be given out fairly to people who need it most? We know the corruption in this country. So these are the detail that will determine if this policy is a success or not. So it's also important to remember what the article say. A foreign owned 1.2 million hectares. So, but previously Advantage Namibians owns nearly 28 million hectares. 28 million hectares. So while this new low target foreign ownership, it's only one piece of a much bigger, larger puzzle, if you like. So the bigger challenge of land inequality within Namibia itself remains. So this is not happening tomorrow. It's not something that is happening tomorrow. So the government has given notice that it will introduce this bill on September 3rd, 2025. So that give us all time to discuss it, to debate it, and to think about what it means for the future of our home. So it is without doubt one of the most significant policy proposal we have seen in years. And as I said, the only problem is definitely translating the paper, translating the idea from the paper into actual execution of, you know, what need to be executed. So that bring us to the end. As I told these guys, always they come towards the end of the show. And I told you to call earlier. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. Is Eagle FM right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, sir, and good morning to the listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to say, to contribute a bit to the issue of land, distribution or land.
You are late, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Not even 1 second, 1 minute.
Just quickly, because quickly.
Okay. All right. Briefly, I just want to say that first of all, we needed to see a demand from those who are demanding compensation for a land that they are owning. We want them to explain to us to understand the logic that can convince somebody how they acquire that land. They demand so much of compensation.
Yeah.
This land, we have a history where people, they were fighting for their land. Land raided by the chief that was the leader at the time.
Yeah.
The Maharero, the Kahimemwa, the Hendrik Vetiboi, and so on and so on. This is going on.
Yeah.
It's not only a Namibia issue. It is an African issue. You have the issue of Zimbabwe. The Arikana Chombori, the Arikana Chombori, she make it categorically clear that people are just coming and then they even classifying the land, the federal land, that the one with the army from their country that are the veteran, who are a more senior captain and so on. You have the right to get this certain land here. That because this is fatal. Then the rest, the small ring coming to this. But they are just putting pens there and then. Then this is my rent. And whoever is there vacated, they put the fire.
Yeah.
And so, is that our compensation?
Yeah, we have done our time. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. Maybe we can discuss it tomorrow.
Yeah. Come much earlier tomorrow.
What is time area?
No, Monday. It's Monday. When
okay, I mean Monday. What time should we come?
The program starts 7:30 to 9:30.
The call comes in?
The call comes in around 8:30.
8:30. Okay, thank you very much, sir.
All right.
Present weekend ahead.
Same to you.
Cheers.
All right. That brings us to the end of our show this morning. And this is a conversation we need to be part of. This is a very, very, very important proposal, as I said, in years. And please have this conversation in your community where you are, with your friends, with your family, with your colleagues, and start discussing this and have be part of this conversation and contribute to the well-being of this country. For me, have a great weekend and stay tuned because Helmut, I hope he won't roast me for taking up some of his time. Well, I wish you a great weekend and stay tuned because Helmut is coming with Mind the Gap. Thank you and goodbye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And from early on, that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low. Because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima,
at my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without...